Hi, Brad.
Hey, Ryan. Good to hear your voice.
Happy Sunday.
Well, same to you. It's a beautiful Sunday here.
Rain. Let's not go down this path. Forget about it.
Okay.
It doesn't make any difference. Hey, I'm calling you about Integration of the Mind and your series. We haven't had a podcast for a while due to some technical difficulties, but a lot has been coming through. A lot of material, a lot of information on the website. You're making a lot of points about stress and hypnosis and all sorts of things that are going on up there. It's almost like you're stirring it up rather than settling it down. Are you going to settle it down sometime?
No, got to stir it up so people want to back up the train and change it.
Okay. Well, you know, it's funny. Some of the things that you're playing with are stretches for me, you know, like especially hypnosis. You know, I got to be quite frank with you. I'm a bit uncomfortable with it.
Well, I'm glad because a lot of people tout it. One very famous guy, I don't know if you've heard of him or not, but Joe Vitale, V-I-T-A-L-E.
Yeah, sure, I know who Joe is, yeah.
Yeah, they figure, you know, he was on The Secret and he's supposedly on the cutting edge. Well, you know, I mean, one of the things he says is was one of the keys to his, you know, all of his published books. I think he had 18 or 19 or something like that. And then he, he's worth millions of dollars and stuff. And self-hypnosis was the way he got there. And it's kind of interesting. And, you know me, I try not to say that any system is good or bad or whatever. It just is, and almost all of them work, including hypnosis. But hypnosis is a good thing to be uncomfortable with, from my vantage point. And, you know, some of these people that don't, they go on and on as if, well, there's just no harm. Well, sorry, but I've had some pretty significant experiences with people who have had some very unfavorable reactions to hypnosis. So,
well, I'm in your camp, that's for sure. One time I took a coaching course. I thought it would enhance my ability as a manager, leader, executive, et cetera, and in the portion of the course when we started to get to basically what was taking people to a trance level and walking them through a new way of looking at something, it felt a bit uncomfortable to me because I don't remember ever asking the person if there was some benefit to the structure that they had built in their life that was supposedly causing a problem. I mean, a lot of things that we experience in this life look like problems but aren't. They're actual protection mechanisms. You talk about the subconscious mind and how the subconscious mind is working for your favor, your benefit. It's doing its job. And so when you go into that subconscious mind and you start fooling around, so to speak, you're potentially leaving yourself open to some harm. And I don't know that enough people take the time to carefully ask and find out whether or not this is the right thing to do in the moment. So that's my biggest discomfort. Plus, seeing those, when I was a kid, there was this ravine and all sorts of popular hypnotists. And I remember watching them on TV and thinking, I'm never going to go see a show like that. What if he picks me and turns me into a chicken or something like that? Right?
Well, it's, I've had a few experiences, and I've told a few stories in upcoming articles that I think you may find interesting and might I'll use the term beef up your thoughts related to
Well, I have to confess that any time I've thought about hypnosis as a methodology to benefit me, I've come to the conclusion that I'm really just taking a shortcut.
Yeah, and I'm also going to get into some specific benefits that are proven, are worthwhile. And, you know, just because I like them doesn't mean that, you know, that's a good thing. Anyway, there's always pros and cons to everything. And, I'm not going to get off into into an article yet that we're not supposedly going to, be discussing today, because you will chastise me for that.
Yes, yes, I will. Well, why don't we talk a little bit about the relax button?
Okay.
Okay. I mean, is it a form of hypnosis, self-hypnosis, to put a relax button inside your mind?
Well, we all use imagination,
mm-hmm.
and different people use imagination to a far greater degree than others do, but so perhaps what some people are talking about when they're talking about self-hypnosis is just that, using your imagination.
That's quite possible.
After all, you know, one of the things my psychiatrist buddy that I often make reference to talked about is that most people are in trances that they're unaware of, you know.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And a couple,
yeah, all the time. And
a couple articles ago, we were talking about how running puts us into that trance state, and that we enjoy it. We actually enjoy that trance state, and we don't really realize or notice that our whole body is starting to tighten up due to the stress we're putting on during the run. And so I took your advice, and I put a relax button in my mind, and I noticed that when I said mentally relax button and saw a picture of that relax button, the tension in my shoulders would start to melt away, even while I was running.
Yeah.
Or jogging, yeah. as the case may be. I'm not that fast. Running may not be the appropriate word.
Yeah, well, your illustration on the article really helped me as well. I have that firmly in my planted, you know, and you might say in your subconscious, but actually it's planted in a way that I use it consciously. That is, you know, I press it.
Yeah. Yeah. And even the in your article that we're going to put up today, the subconscious activator of stress, which in my case, and it seems in yours as well, is a cup of coffee. I mean, come on. Let's activate stress. Okay, we need stress because we need to perform at a top peak performance while we're in our busy workday world. Right? Look at us go. Go,
yeah.
Go, go. Look at me being productive.
Wow. Yeah, it's an interesting point of view.
Yeah. Well, your articles tend to stir that up for me, so I'm greatly appreciative. And I'm wondering where we're going to go with this hypnosis thing. I got to say, I'm a bit curious, because I do see it, as you do, as a potential benefit, but also a huge... I'm probably frightened of it based on my ignorance rather than any actual experience that hypnosis is bad, because if I can hypnotize myself to put a relax button inside... quite sure I could hypnotize myself to do some other wonderful things too. Unfortunately, I'm not exactly sure how to do it.
Generally, I don't like to write methodology
mm-hmm.
about hypnosis. I do use it with certain, clients in business when they want it. I refuse to induce a trance in anybody, because that is playing with fire, in my view. I don't care. I think the doctor I make reference to often made the statement one time that's really true, that he doesn't trust anybody. But he did trust me with what I did. And he referred to it as mass hypnosis at one time. But when I was working with a group of his patients, and some of them were rather severely troubled, and as an outcoming of that session, several literally were healed and no longer needed him. That was the first time that happened. He said, "This guy is going to put me out of business." And he said jokingly, and then he says, "Hallelujah." But anyway, the point was, he did trust me, but he didn't trust himself. And the reason, what he said to me was, when you have people formally inducing trances, in a sense, they're playing God.
Mm-hmm.
And they're messing with stuff they don't even know themselves, because they're not aware of their own emotional needs. Now, one of the things I learned with him, it came from, I like to call it osmosis, because the way he went through his training in California, and he had an extra year tacked on to his residency as a payback, and the state of California would retire a physician's loan of his, it was a education loan, so to speak, with that first year of residency. They work all residents, all hospitals work residents like dogs, around the track. There's been much around the clock. There's been much written about that, about the dangers, particularly with ER residents, where they're operating on hour and a half sleep, and they get awakened all during the night, and sometimes work 14-day shifts, almost 24 hours a day with just grabbing a nap here and there. And the dangers to patients, particularly in emergency room situations, but also with residents in surgery, for obvious reasons. If a guy's fatigued, he's hardly going to be somebody you want working with some sort of invasive procedure with a knife.
And so this guy trained you how?
Exactly. And these guys are so muddled half the time that it's been pointed out many times in many research articles that their retention levels and everything are lowered. So the residency and internship systems in hospitals is not exactly as conducive to good training mode as anything else. Well, anyway, my point was, in the California system for the psychiatric residencies, where the guy had to go and after he'd already earned his MD degree from a school and already had gone through a specialty residency, like my friend's residency was a surgical residency for a year at the Oregon State Medical Hospital School slash, it was at that time it was part of University of Oregon, but has now become a university of its own. But anyway, after spending that, then California would pay their tuition for their psychiatric residency, and then they, if the guy as a physician during his residency, if he would be on call for medical duty, to supervise actual performing medicine on the 3,000 inpatient resident at this mental hospital. And then when that was finished, he would put in a year as a psychiatrist physician, and he'd run all sorts of programs and the like as a means to pay back the state of California. So during that period was when I met him, and the way they worked the residency was they would have a consultant come and go over all of each resident's cases once or twice a month. And his consultant was a professor from Stanford University in Palo Alto, California, and happened to be the guy that wrote the book.
It doesn't matter. Let's keep going.
It doesn't matter. Anyway, it would come up, and the point being was, all the time he says, he would say to him, "Whose needs are you meeting here? Whose needs are you meeting? Yours or the patient's?" Well, with that backdrop, that became a mantra of his and became a mantra of mine. Whose needs am I meeting, the client, or am I meeting my own emotional needs? Well, it forces you to look at what's going on, and it's how I built a selling system that my friend was very enamored with, because I said, well, your negative views towards selling are off the wall, because what I do is I've just taken what you've helped me with and say, okay, what is it this person really wants? And I focus on that. I even, pardon the term, would pray, help me think in terms of this person's interests and not my own. And I would be dedicated to that. Well, what his point was that hypnotists and therapists often who use hypnosis, if they don't know what their own needs are and they aren't schooled into continually disciplining themselves to look at what's going on in the interaction, then what happens is they make suggestions based on values they're not even aware of. And when you have a person, particularly, he said, was diagnosed with schizophrenia, which is his interpretation of that term is means a person that is out of touch with reality, that you don't know what the person is doing with your suggestions. And if your suggestions are based on some inner need you have that you're not even aware of, you are creating all kinds of things, and you could be creating a monster. And it scared him, literally scared him. And of course, I'll tell a couple of stories. I don't think we're there yet with this article. This article doesn't mention the famous Jim Jones, does it, or does it?
Well, yeah, we start there. So how about we just call it a day, and let's get on with the next couple articles and let people catch up to you.
Okay, we'll do. And this means I get to go now and you're going to quit.
You got it, buddy.
Hey, I can get off the hot seat. Okay. Love you. Thanks for the call, Ryan.
You too, bye.